prosperous week. And, you know, Thanksgiving has come and it's gone. Christmas has come and it's about ready to go. So, but if you will, this morning for a little while, let's turn to the book of Philippians. And instead of me reading all the verses there in chapter 1, I'm going to just be reiterating some of the verses. But we need to think about some things today. And we know in the, if you can take and read the book of Philippians, it's not but four chapters. Four chapters. You can read it, and the gospel is mentioned in the gospel of, in the book of Philippians, the letter, there Paul mentions the gospel 9 times in the book of Philippians. And we know also that the gospel, where it's mentioned, is mentioned for a reason. It's mentioned for the people that has been saved, been born again, to give out the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is nothing else but the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. So we have the gospel in the whole book. It's just not the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The whole book, I believe, is the gospel, because it's written about the Lord Jesus Christ. But what do we need to do with the gospel? Are we supposed to take the gospel and be able to hide it under a bushel, like I was talking about last week, just hiding our faith and hiding our light up under a bushel? Are we supposed to be able to hide the gospel away from the people that's in the world, that's around us each and every day? And we don't have to get into the gospel. We don't have to get into it and quote verse by verse. All we have got to do is mention the name of Jesus, and that's the gospel. That's the gospel. And the whole book is around the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like after we get through the holidays and everything, and when I get back to the teaching on Wednesday night on the tabernacle, we can see the tabernacle that was in the wilderness, and it's all surrounded, and it's all entered in there, and Christ is the surrounding of the tabernacle there. It's all about Jesus Christ. That's what we should be about. Is nothing else but Jesus Christ and what he wants us to do for him. But here in Philippians chapter 1, I want to look at a couple, two or three verses here. But it says in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for ye are making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that ye, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And verse 7 says, even as it is meant for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bond and in the defense of my confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. And when we have received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through being born again and trusting His very word, it tells us too that we are partakers of His marvelous grace. And we are not partakers of His grace because we have just come and we just make a profession of faith. We must accept Him as who He is. And He is the Lord and the Savior of this world. And He is the only one that can save the individual. He can save to the uttermost, to the guttermost. And it doesn't make no difference. What we believe is what we believe in Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ teaches us. And we must remember that we must share the gospel to a lost and dying world. And when I mean a lost and dying world, I mean other people that is lost. And I mean other people that is dying into their sin. Yes, we are also dying because when we was first born into birth, we started dying. Because what happened? We started crying, we started wanting this, and we started wanting that. Yes, we started dying. Why? Because of the sin nature that had come upon our life that particular day. We have sin on our life. And yes, until we get to the age of accountability, which some people say 12, but some people, it don't make no difference. The age of accountability can either be 4 years old, it could be 5, 6, 7, 8, it could be 35, it doesn't matter, until they know the difference between right and wrong. We know there's people today that's in, that is confined in the institutions around. They don't have the mental ability to be able to understand. They don't have the ability to know the difference between right and wrong. And when they don't know the difference between right and wrong, yes, they can be 30, they can be 60, it doesn't make no difference. But when they get to that point in their life that they know that the difference between right and wrong, then they done reached their age of accountability. And yes, some people never reaches that age of accountability. Why? Because of the health reasons that they have. Because the way that they was born into this world, they was born into this world. Why? Because of the lack of this, the lack of the ability that they have gained the faculties and gained the mind to be able to discern between right and wrong. Yes, if they can't determine between right and wrong, then once the Lord comes back and once the Lord takes them out of this world, then where are they going? They're going straight to heaven, because God, He is a just God. He is no respecter of person. And when He speaks of that, no respecter of person, it means that He's not going to tell me one thing and then tell you something else the way to come to Him. He's not going to ask me that I have to come to Him through the blood, and I have to come and believe in Him and then come to you and ask you, well, you need to come this way and you need to come and that way. No, He does not change because of the circumstances that we're in. He changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The gospel is the same today. The gospel is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It never changes. It never changes. We don't have no other way to go to the Lord Jesus Christ but one way. And we must accept Him in what He had done at Calvary. That He died for my sin. And He rose again on the third day, that I may believe
And that was the only way. Yes, he could have stayed in the grave. But if he had stayed in the grave, then I would have had no hope. You would have had no hope. But he came and he conquered death, hell and the grave. For who? For you and for me. That we could one day know him as our friend. Know him in a personal and an intimate way. Yes. And I'm so thankful that we have the gospel. I'm so thankful that I have the gospel. And the gospel is not hid from me. The gospel has been hid from a whole lot of people that's in the world, because the people are not getting the truth. The people, even in some churches today, the gospel is being hid to the congregation. Why? Because the preachers, they don't want to give them what this says about the gospel. They don't want to give them what says the word of God. Because the reason they are that way is because they don't want the people to think that they had no law more than what the pastor thinks. Praise God. If you can get something out of anything, if you can get them something out of a message that I bring that can bring you closer to God and can bring you to the point that you know what the gospel is saying, then, hey, you can believe it, or if you want to, it doesn't make no difference. Yes, you can know more than I know. And praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that somebody else may know more about the gospel than what I know. But it's not to the point that we don't ever quit to the point that we will not learn. The gospel has occurred 9 times here in the book of Philippians. 9 times it is the term. And it means good news. That is the good news. One day that Jesus Christ, through the precious word of God, through the Holy Spirit, as the man of God was up there preaching, brought some good news my way. Some good news that I heard. And that good news was none other than Jesus Christ. That good news that I heard was John 3:16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. He loved me because I'm a part of the world. I'm a part of this vast universe that he has created. I'm a part of that. So he loved me for that. Not only did he love me for that, but he also called me whosoever. He didn't say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that Bill would be saved. No, he put the whosoever can come. The whosoever, who is that? That is you. That is me. That is them. That is they. Whosoever. It is so simple. He has put our name there. Our name is recorded in the Word of God. Have you ever thought about that? That your name is recorded in the Word of God? And it is. Every name is recorded here in the Word of God. But it's up to the individual if they want to believe the gospel. It's up to the individual if they want to accept him. And when he come to me, when the Holy Spirit come to me, and he says, Donnie, that whosoever, he's calling your name.
He wants you to come. He wants you to fellowship with Him. And He wants to have fellowship with you. Have you been around people that you thought was a Christian? That you thought was sometimes the way that they acted some things that they said that they went to church? But then you would get in a deep conversation with them, and you'd be around them talking, and you'd come to the realization and knowing that they had never had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. That they don't know what the word whosoever means, but the whosoever means me and you. And I'm so thankful that He had me on His mind that day when He was on Calvary. Hey, don't you? Aren't you glad that He had you on His mind that day at Calvary? He had the whosoever on His heart that day. You know how Jesus Christ died? I believe He actually died with a broken heart. Why? Because the people that He even walked around with back then and in the days, the disciples and His followers and all the individuals that He had taught and the individuals that He had looked to and give them guidance, His heart was being broken every day because He knew what they was thinking as individuals. He knew what and how they would act when it come to the point in His life that He knew that He had to go to Calvary. He had to go to Golgotha's hill, and He had to climb that hill carrying His own cross. But that on His cross was so heavy because He was bearing the sin of the world on His shoulders that day. It was heavy to Him. And He fell down. He fell down to His knees, but He got right back up and He carried the cross. He fell down again, but He got up and He still carried the cross, and He fell down again. When He fell down that time, He was so overloaded with the cares of the world, with the sin that I was carrying, the sin that I was going to start carrying in 1950. But yet it was way back then, 2000 BC before Christ, 33 years after that, He went to Calvary. He went to Calvary for who? For me and for you. Why did He go for me? Why did He go for you? Because of His love. He loved us. He loved me so much that He was willing to go and die for me. That He would go and pay my ticket, or He would pay my pardon. And He's the only one that could pay my pardon and not cost me one red cent. It did not cost me my time. It did not cost me anything. Today, they have been discussing right much here lately in the last week or two about Obama pardoning people from prison and from, yes, and from the ones that has left the United States, that has betrayed the United States. They speaking of him, giving them pardon. But see, with the pardon that they're going to get, they had to have some time involved. I didn't. The only reason he pardoned me is because he loved me. The only reason he pardoned you, Sister Nancy, is because he loved you. Only he can love like that. You take care, we'll be praying for you. But what a Savior he is. What a Redeemer he is. He has supplied the gospel to us, that we could have it to read it. We could have it to read it and to be able to rejoice over it and to have peace in it. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful today that he accepted me just like I was. That he didn't come to me and say, Donnie, and say, well, you have to give up this and you have to give up that. And when you do, then you come back. No. I did not have to give up anything. But once I got saved, it was given up for me. Because I wanted to do what I could for him. I wanted to fight for him. We have people today that look at the local church. It's just a building. They don't comprehend it as a spiritual help for them. I've had individuals who tell me, says, I can go to church. I can stand right there in the middle of the highway and go to church, as long as there's two or three there. But the church is what he died for. He did not die for that road right there. He died for the church. Who is the church? Me and you. And when you tell people that, they'll come back and say, well, like I said, I can go out there in the middle of the road and I can be in church. I said, well, if that's what you want to believe, go ahead. I said, but I'm going to ask you something else too. And when you get to the point in your life that somebody in your family needs help from somebody, or needs a pastor to maybe come and maybe preach their mother's funeral or the father's funeral, or go to the hospital and visit them when they're in the hospital, can you go back to that same highway where you was at and you were standing in the middle of? Can you go back right there and you can expect
to ask somebody there to go with you. Visit your family in the hospital. Or go to the family's home and visit them as they going about making arrangements for the funeral of their loved ones. That's what the local church is for. That is what this body of believers is, a body here. And he does speak about the local church. The local church has a foundation. You'll see no other foundation out here around. The local church has a foundation. And it has a solid rock. Who's a solid rock? Peter. He's a solid rock. And Jesus Christ, he's the one that's made it all possible. He's the one that's made everything so possible for me. I love the house of prayer. I love the house of God. Why? Because that's where God is at. I've never been disappointed coming to God's house. Since I've been saved, I've never been disappointed in coming to God's house. Yes, I've been disappointed as a people. I've been disappointed maybe some of the ways and some of the times that I've acted toward other people. But I never have been disappointed in the house of prayer. Because you've got at least a few people there that know the Lord, that serves Him each and every day, the gospel. We need to be thankful that we have the gospel. You know, in some lands and some of the countries that overseas and everything, there are people that do not even have the gospel. They don't have the Word of God. And you know, really, you can really come down to it and think about it. There are some people here in the United States of America that does not have a Bible. Does not have the gospel where they can be able to study it and read it. Oh yes, we can have some preachers, and I've known some preachers that say, well, you just get in your word, you just get in the Bible and you read. You read the word, and the word will convict your heart. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible teaches that the only way that someone can ever be able to be saved is through the preaching of His Word. That where the preaching of His Word over in the book of Romans speaks about is speaking about when you hear the preaching. The preaching of God's word will draw all men to who? To Him. They won't. If I'm up here preaching, and if what I do is drawing people up here to come up here because I've asked them to come, I didn't preach the gospel. I didn't preach the gospel. But after we come,
to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is when we go in the Word. That's when we get into the Bible, and that's where we grow from. We grow every day that we get in God's Word. We grow every day as long as we walk with Him. We're growing. Anybody that's not growing, they're standing still. And if they're standing still, what's happening? They're giving in to the devil. Giving in to the devil. We need to be thankful for the gospel. And we need to pray and have a prayer life. Like that when we get in the gospel. Now I'm not speaking of just the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm speaking about the whole book. Because what's this whole book around? What is it around? Who's it speaking about? Who's it speaking about? Jesus Christ. What is Jesus Christ? He's the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. And as long as we're in His Word, if we'll just ask Him to help us and to teach us what the Word says, He will do it. Yeah, we may not understand it right then. We may not be able to understand even one little portion of it. But He don't ask us to read it and to understand it. He asked us to read it and to meditate on it, and to chew on it, and to eat it. He asked us to meditate on the Word of God. And the latter portion of that scripture over in John chapter 14 and verse 26, the latter part of it, says He will bring all things. He will bring all scripture back to your remembrance. He said, I'm not asking you to memorize the verses. I'm asking you just to read it. I'm asking you just to pray over it. Our prayer life, and I'm just as guilty. Probably, maybe I'm more guilty than you are. That I don't pray like I should. I don't pray like the Bible teaches. But I do know, when the Holy Spirit speaks, He will chasten me. He chastises me. Why? Because I am a child of the King. I'm His child. That's the reason God allows the Holy Spirit to chasten me. Chastise me. When He does, then we can get back to our prayer life. Because He's not going to let us go long. He's not going to let us go long. He'll send somebody our way just to talk to us. And a whole lot of times when somebody else comes our way and talks to us about a circumstance or something like that that we're not doing now that we used to do. You know, we get to the point that we think that they are belittling us. That they know more than what we as individuals know. But we have to realize some things. The Word of God also teaches that if I see another brother or sister do something and they're not doing it like they used to do it, they haphazard doing things and they don't feel like that they have the joy that they once had. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. It's not a good situation to be in. I've been there. To where I didn't feel the joy of God. And I felt like that my prayers, when I did pray, my prayers were just right here. And then there was a concrete wall right above that that was stopping it. And it wasn't going no further. I've been there. And it's not a good place to be. But as there is one consolation, there's one consolation in that. Is that we as individuals, we know, and His Word teaches us this, we know where we left Him. In other words, when we was walking at one time, yes, He was holding my hand. Yes, and sometimes He took me up and He was just toting me. Like the scenery that we always look at. Where you see that one footprint, the footprint walking on the beach, on the sand, shore of the beach. Then you read it. And it's speaking about when they had got down to the point in their life that they didn't know what else to do. They didn't know what other way to go. That they just was at the point of giving up. See, that's when Jesus passes by. And when He passes by, He picks us up. He brings us close to His bosom. And He hugs us so tightly. And it says in that same letter there that where they see the one footprint. They said it's not the one footprint. They don't see but one individual. The individual that they see is an individual that made the footprint, and that was Jesus. But He says, the reason there is not to that is basically because you was hurting and you were stumbling, and I picked you up. And I hugged you tightly. Where you can be strengthened through my love for you. That you can be
that you could overcome all the obstacles that you are up against. And we are safeguarded by the gospel. You know, we're in safety. We're in a safety net by the gospel. No one can ever take the gospel from me. No one. Why? Because it's been paid in full. Like I said earlier, he has pardoned me. The gospel that he give me has been paid for in full. There's no restitution. I don't have to do anything for it. All I had to do is just accept it and believe it just like it is. I cannot add anything. I cannot take anything away. That's it. What he give me, that's it, is the gospel. And I've got to accept it the way he presented it to me. And if I don't accept it that way, then one day he's not going to speak to me no more. One day he's not going to burden me down about it anymore. And then I'm going to be all lost. And after the rapture takes place, and after the 7 years tribulation, then all the people are going to stand before Almighty God, which we're going to already stand, be stood by beside him at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have to give an account of what we've done since we've been saved. I'm going to have to give an account of every message that I've ever preached. And I'm not looking forward to that judgment, to judgment seat. I'm not looking forward to it. But I'll be so glad when I can get past that. And when I can get past that, and when you can get past that, and then he's going to tell us, welcome home.
Go check out your man. When I go down the golden street, there's nothing but pure gold when I'm walking down that street. Yes, he's going to give me a number, I believe. It's going to be on the outside of that door. What he's going to say is, welcome home. My son. Welcome home, my daughter. Welcome home. That's going to be the most wonderful time for my life and for your life. It's when he say welcome home, we can go out and we can look on the outside of that door. Welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my sister. Oh, man. Man, I long. I yearn for that. One day I want to go to meet him.
Well, you say, preacher, you've been talking like you're ready to go today. I'm ready. If that's what he wants to do, if he wants to take me home today, I'm ready. I'm packed. I've already got my ticket. I know exactly
where the boarding gate's at. The boarding gate, I think we'll read, boarding to the things that's out of this world. Boarding toward heaven. Are you looking forward and going to heaven? I am. But until we do, until that time comes for each one of us to either go by the grave or go by the rapture, we must stay busy for Him. We must stay busy for Him. If you cannot go out and visit, if you don't have nobody to call, you can definitely pray for us, that I may go out and meet the one that the Lord Jesus wants me to be able to see. Because when I go, I love it when you can take the Bible and lead someone from death unto life. Because see, to the Christian, there is no death. To the Christian, there's not but one thing, there's life. There's no death to the Christian. Yes, some people say, well, they're just sleeping. I don't know. I do know this. Paul said too, here in the book of Philippians, I believe he says also, to be absent is to be in the presence of Him. So Paul's saying, it says, when I lay down this body, and when that last breath is taken from me, in which the Lord God Almighty given Him, he says, praise God, hallelujah. When that last breath is taken, which God the Father has given me the first breath. You know, He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and He is the end. And I thank God for that. That once He takes that last breath for my body, I'm going to be in His presence. My spirit is going to be in His presence. See, when I was born into this world, He gave me His spirit. Because He breathed in me the breath of life. And life is in the spirit. The life is in the blood. And the last thing is that we need to show and we need to spread the gospel at all costs. We need to spread it. And as we spread it, we can share it. And as we can share it, we can also show it. We can show it in the life that we live. We can be able to spread it also. And the one that we believe in.
gospel. The gospel means so much to me. I have the Word of God. I have the gospel.
And it's not hid from me. It's not hid from me. But the gospel has been hid to a whole lot of people. Why? Because people that know the gospel are afraid to share it. You know why they're afraid to share it? It's because they think that they don't really know that much about Scripture. They don't know that much about the Bible. But one thing I have learned,
it's not about me memorizing verses. And it's not about me quoting verses. And it's not about me even being able to take the verses. And telling the people where they can find the verse at. It's not about that. You know what's about? It's about the life that He has given us. Our testimony. And what He has done for us. If He has saved you this morning, if you've been saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all you have to give. That's all you have to give them. See, they don't want to know what the church believes. They don't want to know what goes on at the church. You can tell you why. Because see, they already know. They know how many people we have here at the church. They know how many people comes out. They know how many songs we're going to sing. They don't know. Some people may even know the song that we're going to pick out and sing. And they also know that we're going to take up prayer requests. They also know that we're going to take up an offering. And we're going to also take up the tithes and offerings. Then they know if we're going to sing another song tonight. They know all these things. They know if we have a choir that's going to sing. They know all these things. But what they really want to know is not all of that. What they want to know is what Jesus has done for you. What Jesus has done for me. That's what they want to know. That's what we really need to give them. What Jesus has done for me and for you and for us as an individual. And then when we can tell them that, then never know. The next service that we have could be on Wednesday night. It could be dinner or five. And we could just look around and our eyes would be able to catch our presence. Why? To know that what we've done is the right thing. They want me to. They want to know about me. They want to know about my life. They want to know if I live the gospel just here in church or if I live it outside these doors. That's what the woman knows.
Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Father, Lord, we ask God now that you may just take your word, Father, for where that you have spoken this day about the gospel. And Lord Jesus, that there's something was said that that really touched our hearts in a way. And Father, that we know it was by you. And Father, that we could have a understanding of your word better and better than we had before. Father, we thank you and we love you. We ask, Father of God, if anyone here today to have something on their heart, Father, they want to come forward. They want to pray about it. And they need thy help. We ask, Lord, today that you will just touch them in that special way, we pray. Amen.